I'd like to welcome you to our epic storytelling place. My name is Ian McKenzie. I'm from YMCA Carrickfergus in Northern Ireland as part of the Heritage and Exhibition event here at 175. And I'm really excited and have the pleasure to welcome Peter Nassier from YMCA East Jerusalem with us. And we're going to ask him a few questions about his involvement with YMCA and what he's got from the event and what he hopes to achieve through his work. So thank you very much, Peter, for coming.
Thank you for having me.
So you work at YMCA East Jerusalem. Could you tell us how long you've been involved in YMCA? Maybe a little bit about your beginnings.
Okay, sure. So I'm the General Secretary of the East Jerusalem YMCA. I have been in my position for 6 months. I have been involved with the YMCA since, I would say, since birth. I was born in the YMCA. My father was the General Secretary of the YMCA. So I have, since I was a child, my childhood was in the Y. I've been part of the Y family since I was a kid. So.
And so for a long time, and then 6 months ago, you became General Secretary?
6 months ago, I became General Secretary.
And you grew up through the YMCA. So tell us a little bit about what that looked like as from a young age, what sort of things you were involved in, your experience of it. Was it a pleasurable one? Was it challenging?
It was challenging in terms of always living somewhere public, because we lived in the Y itself.
Okay.
However, it was very rewarding, and I've always been in contact with people from all over the world from a young age. I travel easily as a result of that. I always feel local wherever I go. The YMCA enriched me in such a way and built my character, and maybe I never realized it while it was happening, but the more I grow and the more I work, the more I reflect on how soft skills that I have that are all thanks and due to the Y.
And so the YMCA in East Jerusalem, does it have a long history in the country? Has it been there for a long time? And what sort of work has it done in its history?
So our history is, we used to be the YMCA of Palestine, founded in 1878.
Wow.
As a result of the establishment of the State of Israel and the war that was fought in 1948, 85% of our people became refugees. The staff of the Jerusalem, the YMCA of Palestine, were unable to go to work anymore because the city of Jerusalem was divided. And the YMCA was on the Israeli side of the city. So five employees of that YMCA, including the chief financial officer, who happens to be my grandfather, started working with refugees. They shuttled refugees from two towns that are by Tel Aviv, by the airport. They shuttled them to the West Bank and in the hopes that they would return. Then came October and they hadn't returned. So they decided to move with them to Jericho, which is, because it's below sea level, it's a very warm place. And it was the biggest refugee camp for Palestinians at the time. So the YMCA was in operation since October 1948, and the census of the biggest refugee camp was conducted by the YMCA. The Red Cross asked the YMCA because their staff were already there and working. They started in a tent, they built a school, they started a school in a tent, and then after 3 years, when they realized that still there's no solution for the refugee problem, they went for the motto of, give me a fish, I eat today, teach me to fish, I eat for a lifetime. And this is where we started with our vocational training center. And we started in 1952. In 1953, we had the YMCA in Beit Sahur, which is next to Bethlehem. In 1955, we had the YMCA in East Jerusalem, which is currently my headquarters. It's my grandfather's office, my father's office, and lucky for me now, and it's my office today as well. So we have been working for 71 years in Palestine. We have, we responded to our situation in the way George Williams responded to this. His needs were for youth who were burning time, not going to work, poverty, etc. Our needs happened to be more as a result of the political conflict. So we have the vocational training school in the late 80s, there was the uprising. And as a response to a policy by the Israeli army of breaking the bones of youth who throw stones, the YMCA developed a program called the Rehabilitation Program, which started in 1989 officially. And for 30 years till today, that program is still established. We started as well a women's development program to help women in a patriarchal society so that they can engage and work and contribute to their society as well. We have, because the interesting fact is Palestinian women are very educated. All of them don't finish school. Plenty of them are college educated as well. So it's a race that eventually they become housewives. So this is what the YMCA responds to that. We had an emergency services unit program which shut down, where we gave microfinance loans. It started in 1992. And we also have the joint advocacy initiative, where we advocate for Palestinian farmers and their rights to plant. And we help them plant olive trees. On average, we plant 8,000 olive trees a year in the West Bank. This year, however, with partnership with the Kairos Initiative, which is a church-related initiative, the aim is, I think, we're going to reach about 20,000 to 25,000 trees this year.
Incredible. And it's incredible to hear through the history of the country and the people that YMCA has been on the ground, working directly in the areas that need it most. So meeting the needs and facing head-on the challenges in what seems like a very delicate and serious situation. And have the needs changed over time?
The society has changed a little bit over time. The needs, unfortunately, haven't, because the problem has never been addressed. Palestine is under military occupation for the last 50 plus years. Refugees are still in camps for 70 plus years. So we keep responding, and our programs can basically function in the same way, provided that there is no change to the actual reality around them. We do, in the 60s, we used to do a lot of sports, and this didn't stop only in the 60s, it carried on to the 70s and the 80s, and the 1967 war, when we became, all of us, under military occupation, also had a different impact on us. So we do have three sports and community centers in Jerusalem, Ramallah, and in Beit Sahur, which is next to Bethlehem. But our four major programs is really our backbone. This is what our identity is. We strive to be, we're proud of the fact that we're not only a gymnast, but we are actually able to address and give good impact. And we have good programs that really help youth. We give hope to a lot of children. We give hope to a lot of youth. We move people away from violence. We channel them towards positive, constructive. They have a right to be. They have a right to be angry, or they have a right to be not to accept the situation that they are in. But we help them to be smart about what they do and to look forward to the future until the day comes when we will be liberated and free like everybody else.
And to give them skills and to help them manage themselves individually. And for you, having become General Secretary 6 months ago, was that always sort of on your journey, as your path? Did you always have a sense, or did you find yourself, now that I'm in this position, what am I bringing for the future?
I've dreamt about it since I was a kid. Again, growing up in the building itself, going down to my father's office and seeing him, and my father passed away when I was young. So it's always been my dream, and he's the one person I look up to from today, and so it's nostalgic in a way that I get to sit behind this desk. I thought I had a plan until I got my feet dirty in the job, and I got to one. I am one of the luckiest people because I have staff that are amazing. Two, I'm honored to just be a part of that. I can actually be the one to tell you the successes of our programs. For the future, we are looking to not only sustain what we do, but to hopefully grow our impact to benefit a lot more people, more people, youth, that we are doing currently as well. Even though we have a substantial number now, with direct and indirect beneficiaries, the YMCA benefits around 60,000 to 65,000 people a year.
Oh, incredible. And obviously very challenging in your role in managing all that and taking it forward. I suppose one final question. What has it meant for you and your team to be a part of YMCA globally, internationally, and to be at this event, the 175, this week?
You can never do anything alone. It's being part of a big family. It's not only warms you up, but when you're at your lowest, you come here, you take a look, you look at all these young people, you look at them smiling, and you look at that they have problems, you're not the only one as well with problems, and you can relate to people. It really alleviates, it gives us energy, it revitalizes us. This makes us feel we mostly feel we are a national movement. And when we come here, we realize that we're also part of the global movement. And we are always trying to better leverage and do some exchanges and introduce our children, our youth to different cultures and to introduce different cultures to ours and get them to understand the Palestinian story and the Palestinian
narrative. Yes. Incredible, incredible. And has there been one standout experience or moment, perhaps this week or even in the 6 months that you've been General Secretary, has there been a moment where has really struck you or impacted you or given you hope?
Of course, there's been plenty of moments. I'll highlight one quickly. Let me highlight two. The first one is we had a doctor visit us to help us establish a program for community development help from Kansas City. And she came here, she visited, I introduced her to our rehabilitation program where the children who suffered from political trauma and from different disabilities. By the time we finished the meeting, I asked her, we explained to her what our work and what we do, and we asked her to tell us about the program so that we can benefit. And her response to me was, when you visit us in October, you will be the one to teach us, we have nothing to teach you. So this just puts pride in
your
eyes.
Yeah.
Secondly, I was, for the first time, I was lucky enough to be in Jericho, and I graduated this year, the 67th class of our vocational training school, which I would like to take just 1 minute and tell you a little bit about. This school offers for marginalized youth, 15, 16 plus, who are dropouts from school, who have no future. Unless the YMCA takes them in, they keep them off their street, they keep them away from extremism, they keep them away from gang violence. We teach them a vocation, and this program is, the only way we can do it is by providing a boarding as well. So the cost of the child is about $6,000, while they can, about 30% of them are able to pay about $1,000 to $1,300. So we have a Little Change the Life campaign, and I have brochures here if anybody would like to take them. We would encourage you to donate and change a person's life. What you do with any dollar that you send us is you save a life and you give hope to a future generation.
Incredible. Incredible. And there's a website address on here and contact so people can find out more about
Absolutely.
The YMCA.
Absolutely.
Peter, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's been
thank
incredible
you
and really interesting to hear and privileged to be with you. Thank you.